Well, let's all praise the Lord, everybody. Come on now, let everything that has breath. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise Him. Praise ye the Lord. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo. My, what a power of God in this place today. Great is going to be the count of miracles and healings and signs and wonders and awesome things from the Lord today. What a pleasure. Bishop, God bless you. Love you very much. Amen. Pastor, God bless you. The ministering staff that's here, everybody that made this day possible. What a loving, powerful presence of Jesus Christ that's in this place. Boy, I hesitate because the power of God with miracle power is here. We're not worrying about having to get it here. It is here. And I agree with Pastor. This is a incredible day. He mentioned he knew it because of some of the difficulties that happened. And you don't want to know what's happened in our life the last 10 days. It's just more than you could handle. So we're not going to share that blessing with you. But I'm just going to tell you that it is the will of God. This day is in the will of God. This weekend, this few days, without any question, is very special. So could I encourage you, if you've ever decided you were going to get involved in a church weekend, make this the one where you worship the Lord maybe more than you ever have in your life. He inhabits the praises of His people. So if you want to get where God lives, well, let me do this, and then we're going to move right on with the service today. We're so honored to be here, and good to see my old friend Ricks and Carolyn Bussey here. We're from the same neck of the woods, and we got a lot of stories. We just got started on some of them last night, but we grew up together in East Texas, and so it's good to see them. And all of you that are here. So let me do this real quick. Just stand another minute. My wife hates it when I have people stand because she thinks I'm doing it because I have to stand. But it's not true. Okay. Her first book, and that's the bestseller one that she has, is called Life Interrupted. It's a story that you're going to hear some of the highlights of today, of illness in her life that God gave her a miracle from. And then following that was, It's Okay to Ask Why. Have you ever done that? Lord, you delivered me, but why? Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, but what about my neighbor down the street that's doing better? You know, why? This is a good read for you. God bless you. And then Her old mentor, our mentor, old Brother Barnes, if any of you ever know the name T.W. Barnes, well, that's the one who grew us, I guess. And he told Terry to write this book before the end time when he was dying. So it's five miracles that will change your life forever. It's miracle ears, How many know you need to hear from the Lord? Because there's a lot of noise out there. A lot of noise. And you need to hear. And then miracle eyes, so you can see the world like God sees it. Miracle heart, so you can have compassion for the world. Miracle emotions. And anyway, that's the new one. You can look at that. And these little ones, the word, healing, faith, and stop by. Now, folks, listen. I don't know you very well yet, but we're gonna take on a wonderful friendship, okay? And if you like me already, would you smile? Oh, just joking. But hey, Sister Terry has 5 grandkids, and I do too. Yeah. But so would you please go by and buy a book? I'm just telling you, she buys them stuff they don't need and we can't afford. But it's just the way it is. We can't pass a Cracker Barrel that might have a sale in the corner of the place, or a Old Navy, or I don't know, any place that, if they say sale, they're bound to have something our grandkids want. So, God bless you. Well, praise the Lord. It's just awesome to be in the house of the Lord today. We want to see Him lifted up. We are going to pray for the sick today. Hallelujah. Yeah, and God's going to set them free. Yeah, miracle power in the house today. It's coming. It's here. They sang it. Healing is here. And so it's going to happen without a doubt. When we get to that point, we call for different ones to come. Please don't hesitate. Begin getting in your mind now what you'd like God to do for you. If you've got cancer, we need to leave it behind today. If you've got heart disease, it needs to all fix today. Whatever you got going on, that high blood pressure needs to get on down there today. God needs to move in a mighty way in your life if you begin believing Him now. Begin believing Him now. Everything you hear is for one purpose, to increase your faith and lift up your hope that God is up to anything, big enough for everything. Hallelujah. So get yourself ready and start now. If you want to get rid of that diabetes or that arthritis or whatever you got going on, begin now. Begin now. Lord, I'm healed. I begin my day like that. In Jesus' name, I'm healed today. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. Begin now. Bring it to the forefront of your mind. Not to give glory to the disease, but to get yourself ready so that you can just give it right to God. We're gonna just do that today. And we're going to cast out fear and doubt and unbelief and all that kind of stuff, because God operates through faith. Faith. Wow. What a great church and what a great presence of the Lord is here. Lift your hands with me in the name of Jesus. We break every barrier. We come against every doubt. We come against every bit of unbelief. In the name of Jesus, we break every stronghold. Ah, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, we take issue with every doubt, every fear. Glory, 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 glory. Wonderful Jesus, my Redeemer. Binding and casting out everything that's not like You, Lord. Any and every hindering spirit that might be in us that we don't even know about, we get rid of it now in Jesus' name. Leaving a perfect atmosphere for Your will to be done in this house. you would touch every woman, every man, every child, everybody that needs that miracle from the Lord.
Wow.
I'm overwhelmed because I am used to feeling this kind of presence of the Lord. I'm not used to feeling it this quick in the service. You guys have got it going on here. God bless you. Love you so much. You can be seated if you promise to stand back up at the slightest inkling of the the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, Colossians 1 and 15 for a scripture. I don't know. A lot of the Bible preachers didn't read a scripture before they preached, but it seems we all do. So I've got one ready for you. Amen. Love you very much. Good to be in church. Would you turn to your neighbor and tell him, I will see you tonight. Will I? Will I see you tonight? Hey, you may not be a Sunday nighter, but I'm sure they got some extra chairs around here somewhere. And we'll make room for you. So God bless you. Get on out here. He is the image of the invisible God, Colossians 1:15. My translation says he's the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things, would you say all things? And every time you see all things, repeat it with me. For by him we're created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him, and he is before and in him hold together. Now, how much is all things? Okay. He's the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. It was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. And we could go on and on. This, by the way, is a Pentecostal candy stick. This passage of Scripture will light an apostolic fire, because in him all things exist. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he is to have first place in everything. No one else is the image of the invisible God. No one else is firstborn of all creation, and no one else can be the creator of all things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, and no one else sits over the thrones and dominions of man and all the authorities of the world, and no one else is before all things. And certainly no one else holds it all together. Do you remember? He's got the whole world. Yeah. And so no one else has all the fullness dwelling in them to the pleasure of the Father. These are absolute exclusive statements. There's no one like him. He's beyond everyone else. He's infinitely beyond everyone else. And so we're going to preach for a little while today, intentionally infinite. Intentionally infinite. Now, I know that you folks up here are astute, educated, and graduated. If I was somewhere else and I needed to break it down, I'd say big enough on purpose. He is big enough on purpose. He is intentionally infinite. I've come to tell you that it doesn't matter what you brought in here with you. I've come to tell you I don't care how tall your mountain is. I've come to tell you it don't matter how heavy your load is. I've come to tell you it doesn't matter how intense the pressure is. He is large enough, big enough, strong enough, able enough. Oh, we're going to have fun here today. There's no one else like him. Yeah, even the birth of Jesus Christ is a Savior who is God in human form. God entered our sin-polluted world without being tainted by the sin. He took our guilt, bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, raised for our justification, ascended to intercede, has gone to prepare a place for us that where he is there we might be. Emmanuel, God with us. Someone say intentionally infinite. Yeah, thank you. Well, any way you look at it, if God were to come into the world as a man, he would come Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the exact reproduction of an invisible God. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ makes the invisible God visible. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. So Jesus being the exact representation of God and all who have ever been created, he is the heir, the supreme one. He's going to be the one who does the healing in this house today. That's why we sing about Jesus. We worship the name of Jesus. We lift our hands and glorify Jesus. We breathe his name all day long because he's the power source. He's the one that will get it done. He's the one that died for us. He's the one whose blood we're going to apply in this house today. Yeah. So we're not dealing with just a man. We're not dealing with just a great man. We're dealing with the God of glory. Now, how many are going to school right now? I mean, not this minute, but, you know, this year. Anybody? Hi. Well, boy, that's not very many. I can explain a lot of things. I don't know. We're having fun. Okay, how many have ever been to school? How many are never going back? So help you God. You're done. Finished. Over. Did that. Yeah. Well, I'm going to take you back to a little science class. I'm just spending a few minutes getting to know you and to tell you how big he is. Because if I can get somebody back there to believe, you know, he's actually big enough to touch me and this pain can leave my body. He's big enough to do what the doctor can't do. He's big enough to do what the hospital didn't do for me. I took pills this morning. They didn't fix a thing. But he's big enough to fix it today. Oh, come on. You know, the deal is if he... Yeah. He's big enough. We don't have a problem saying he's big, but is he big now? Now, this morning, this service, this breath that I'm breathing. Yeah. Woo. Hey, thank you. Thank you for standing. Do that anytime you feel like it. So here's a little quick thing from maybe, I don't know, 10th, 11th grade science class. The whole universe, the whole cosmos, the whole material universe was made by him. So now listen. If you could bore a hole in the sun and start dumping Earths into it, you could put 1,200,000 Earths inside the sun and still have room for 4,300,000 moons as well. I'm waiting on someone to say, wow. Thank you. I got that from Wikipedia and Google. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. That sun is massive. It's 6,000 degrees on the surface and a lot hotter than that at its core. The photosphere of the sun, like, you know, it's a globe, it's a circular, it's like a ball. So if you try to take a picture of the sun when church is out, you know that you're just getting one little slice off of one side, right? That's called the photosphere of the sun. The photosphere of the sun is as wide as 109 Earths side by side. Thank you. So light then travels incredibly fast from that sun to this earth. Who knows the speed of light?
Wow.
You're right. Do y'all have any gold stars or put it right on him? Good job. 186,000 miles per second. Now, you know, I'm a little bit familiar with 80 mph. You'll get it. You'll get it. I hope you don't get it going home today. But 186,000 mps. Now, let's take a little trip at 186,000 miles per second. Would you buckle down? Let's go. If we could travel at that speed, we could reach Mercury in 4.5 minutes because it's 50 million miles away. So at the speed of light, we're there. In fact, in 2 minutes at the speed of light, we could be to Venus because it's 26 million miles away. And 4 minutes and 21 seconds, we could hit Mars, 34 million miles away. And then if we want to take a little longer trip, we can go to Jupiter. It's 367 million miles away, and at the speed of light, it'd take 35 minutes and 11 seconds. And if we wanted to go to Saturn, well, that'll take a while. It's 1 hour and 11 seconds because it's 790 million miles away, and on and on. Would you snap your snap? At 186,000 miles per second, at one snap, they tell me, light circles the globe 7 times. I'm trying to impress you with how big he is. Oh, you cannot go home today saying, I wish I could have got healed, but the doctor said this is with me forever. Well, doctor said I'm going to die with it. My grandma had it, my great grandma had it, my great 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 grandma had it, and I'm dying with it. Really?
No.
Well, you go ahead and die with it if you want to. But I'm just here to tell you that there's a greater power at work here, even than your genetics. It's the power of God. Hallelujah. Come on, he's big enough. I don't care what you've been told or who told it to you. God is able. All right, thank you. You can sit down. Thank you. Would you say Beetlejuice? That's, you never said that in church, have you? Well, that's the name of a star, among other things. Yeah. And it's 880 quadrillion miles away. You ready for this? Betelgeuse has a diameter that is wider than the orbit of the Earth. It's a big rock. There are 175 billion galaxies that we know of. By the way, just because that's all we know, that doesn't mean that's all there is. 175 billion galaxies, that each one has a trillion stars. Maybe he's not up to your migraine. Oh, by the way, who knows each one of them by name? 175 billion galaxies with a trillion stars in each one, and he can just say, "Hey, Jack, how you doing? Hey, Bill. Hey, Mary. How you doing? How's your other billion neighbors doing?" I'm telling you that there is nothing. Boy, faith is getting so high in here. And I've got to hurry up and get done because Terry's got a lot to say. But listen, Pastor, if I'm not mistaken, the Word of God says that the firmament, which is all I've been talking about, was placed in the heavens by his fingers. One day in creation, somewhere, God just said, boom, and everything I told you about just started. What a God. But can I sort of blow your mind with something? That Creator God robed himself in flesh body for one reason. Came to this little old dinky planet Earth to become a little tiny person like us in comparison with the universe. Let himself be slaughtered on a hill by people that he made on a tree that he created for one reason. If you know that you're that reason, would you jump to your feet and lift your hands? Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. He was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquity. Chastisement of my flesh is upon him. By his stripes. Come on, somebody claim the stripes of that great God who is big enough on purpose to come in this service today.
You may be seated. Yes. I had a preacher friend of mine several years back told me that he had been in prayer. And he said, I'd been praying for probably an hour. And he said, man, I had really connected with God. We were just having a fantastic time. The presence of God was so strong. And he said, then all of a sudden, something happened that I need to tell you about. I said, all right, do share. And he said, I made a statement in my prayer. And when I did, it was like everything was just sucked out of the room. I said, well, dear Lord, what did you say? He said, all I said was, God, I want to thank you for being in the universe. And he said, all of a sudden, it was like God just vacated the building. And he said, I was like, God, what happened here? And he said, God spoke to my spirit. And he said, son, I need to give you a little bit of a perspective change because I am not in the universe. The universe moves, dwells, and has its very being inside of me. And all Steve and I have come to do this weekend and this week is to give you a little bit of a perspective change. Because if you can imagine how big that God is and then how much that God loves you, there is nothing that you have drug into those doors today that my God cannot heal. I just believe that. But here's the problem. You want to know why we have a problem with all this? Well, that works for somebody else, but you know, you just don't know what all's happened to me and what I've done and where I've been. And you know, and besides that, I don't know how all that faith y'all are talking about. And let me tell you something. To every man, there was given a measure of faith. If you are living, breathing, and moving, you have faith. And the Bible says that faith, as the size of a grain of mustard seed, can say to a mountain, get up and be thou removed. So faith is not the problem. It is innate inside of you. But what you've got to do is start releasing it in this service this morning and believing that my God is big enough to conquer anything that I have brought into this place. But the problem is, we don't think he's going to do it for us. You know why? We live in a negative world.
Yeah, we do.
Get up and you go to work. The boss is mad at you. Come home, the spouse is mad at you.
Oh, no.
Now, never in our house. That has never happened.
Never.
Right. Lightning is just about to strike me. And your kids are mad at you. They go in the room and shut the door.
Oh, yeah.
Dog won't even lick on you.
Oh, that's
bad. Bad day. And we have those bad days. And we get to thinking how bad we are and how messed up we are and how it's just so negative. And besides all that, don't answer the telephone.
No.
Because somebody's had some kind of tragedy. Something bad's happened. Man, you see that caller ID and you are just not even going to answer that call. Oh, somebody else has done that before. Because you know it's just going to be bad. And then do not tune into the news. North Korea is going to blow us off the face of the earth. There's all the terrorists are blowing up everything. There's always something bad happening. And so we live in this negative society where we've been put down, where the oppression has put us down. Can I tell y'all something? You ain't never going to be skinny enough. Your hair ain't never going to be perfect enough. You're never going to have the right clothes, the right car, the right house, the right nothing, okay? Somebody's always going to have something better than you, so just accept it and move on. God put you where you are to be who you are for the purpose of whatever he has for your life. So embrace it and quit looking at everybody else. He loves you. Would you high-five your neighbor and say, God loves me? So what I want to do today is not only tell you that he is intentionally infinite, but honey, he is intentionally intimate. He loves everything about you. He made you in his image. He made you in his likeness. He made your body to work like he created it to, and he wants to put it all back into place today. Let me tell you something. He's powerful enough to make it all and powerful enough to love us all. Woo! Well, Terry, how can you be so positively sure of what you're talking about? Let me push the rewind button. Take y'all back a few years. I was going about my little life. Steve and I were pastoring in Blytheville, Arkansas, and we'd just built a big new church, and life was good. Sent the first kid to college. Second one was just going to high school. Had two dogs and a nice little house and working in the kingdom of God, volunteering at everything I could find in my community. I thought life was okay. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, doctors can't explain it to this day, I was struck with what they eventually diagnosed as an airborne virus of unknown origin. Now that's short for, we don't know what's wrong with you. They figured out it was viral. They figured out that it was fatal, but they did not know what they were dealing with. They had never seen it before, and they didn't know what to do to contain it. The first 30 days that I was in the hospital, I coded out 27 times. Doctors told me there was no hope. The virus was invading every organ of my body, and one by one, it was shutting them down. And there was nothing they could do but try to help keep me out of the pain, try to sustain me for a few more days, but they could not stop the damage. See, that's why I can stand here today with confidence and tell you that when you are down to nothing, my God's up to something. You don't ever throw in the towel because your back's to the wall. That's when you get a backbone and say, my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all I can think or ask. So, after several months of this, the first 3 years, actually, I was in the hospital way more days than I was allowed to be at home. They would let me go. We actually lived right across the street from the hospital, which made it convenient. And they would let me go home for 3 or 4 days, but I could not sustain life on my own. And I would have to be rushed back to the hospital and hooked back up on all their stuff. It was several months into my sickness. Late one night, one of my doctors was a personal friend. He was an internist that was kind of trying to oversee my case along with all the other doctors. And he was a Bethesda Naval trained doctor and had a lot of connections. And he had done everything he knew to do. Came in. It came about 11:30 one night. You know, there are some points in your life that you never forget. It was one of them. And he came in, and we were friends, and his wife and I had done Bible studies together, and his dad was a Nazarene preacher, so good old guy. He sat down on the edge of my bed, and he said, Terry, I've come in here tonight because I need to talk to you as a friend and not as a doctor. I said, okay. He said, I need to tell you that you are dying and you cannot get well. He said, I've done everything I know to do. The virus is going to take you out. He said, I talked to the disease control center, and he said, they've had 13 cases like yours that have been reported. And he said, they're all dead, except there's one little boy that has contacted this, and he's waiting on a heart transplant, but they don't think he'll make it. Because by this point, the virus had started invading the pericardium around my heart, and so much pressure on my heart, the valves were popping and blowing out. And he said, we can't, there's too much wrong. We can't fix it. And he said, if you can embrace the death process, it's going to be much easier for your husband and your children and your church family and your parents. And he said, just if I'll help you walk through this, I know this path. He took my hand. He said a little prayer, and he said, "Now, you need to let this in your spirit, and I'll see you again tomorrow." I cannot tell you the darkness that overcame me when that white lab coat walked out of that door. I'll just be real honest. I had a pretty good pity party. God worked for you all my life. Got filled with your spirit at 5 years old. Baptized in your name. Not been perfect, but I've been trying. I don't understand this. I can't find you. Every prayer I prayed felt like it hit those ceiling tiles and bounced right back down on me. I was so far against the wall, my back was in the next room. I didn't know what to do. But my pillow was wet with tears, and I wasn't getting anywhere with my pity party. I looked over on my nightstand, and I saw this old Bible, been with me over 40 years. And I picked it up, and I laid it on my chest, and I held it, and I cried. And I said, "God, here's what I know. I don't know where you are, and I sure don't know why this is happening to me. But I know your word is true. It has stood the test of time. And if I am alive right at this moment, God, I know that every promise in this book is mine." I said, "I am so far down, I don't even know where to look. So here's what I'm going to do." Now, I don't advise you to do this. Don't do this. But I was so desperate. I said, "God, I'm just going to open the Bible, and wherever it falls, that's my word." Now, as I said, don't do that, because he may have just killed a bunch of people where you open the Bible, and that's not the word that you want. But he knew how desperate I was. He knows my every thought. He knows every intention in my heart. When my Bible fell open, it fell open to a very familiar passage of Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." When I read that, the tears turned from pity to praise. And I said, "All right, God, if anything in the word is true, this is true. That somewhere, you are somewhere thinking about me, laying on this hospital bed dying, and you want peace for me, and I'm not feeling it. So me and you got to get on the same page." And I read the next verse that says, "Then you will call on me. You'll go and pray unto me." And what does those last words say? "I will hearken unto you." The God that did all of that, that he just told you about, said that no matter where I am, no matter what my situation is, no matter how life has beat me up, no matter how sick that I am, that if I will call and I will pray, I will believe, he's gonna hearken unto me. Because he loves me. I'm his kid. He's in love with me. Your spouse may have walked out on you. You may have had an abuser tell you you wasn't worth a thing. You may have had a child look at you and say, "I never want to see you again." You may have had all kind of horrible things happen to you. But honey, I'm here today to tell you, my God is so in love with you. What I found out is the word's greater than the sickness. What I found out is I had to decide whose report am I going to believe. Am I going to believe the negative things that keep coming in my ears? Or am I going to pick up this old tried and true word from God and take it to the limit and believe that it's going to supply what I need, that it's going to take care of my problems, that it's going to heal my sickness, that it's going to bring my lost kids home, that it's going to put a relationship back together? That's what my God will do. So here's what I did. I said, all right, God, if that's true, it's me and you against the whole medical world. But when my God is for me, who can be against me? So I call my husband, and it's like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. Bless his heart. He's tired. They had been telling me goodbye so many times. It was exhausting. My parents, my kids, my husband did come stand around my bed and hold hands and cry and tell me goodbye. It was rough. It was real. Doctors and nurses would be in there with their stethoscopes ready to pronounce me dead. Code cart doing all it could do. But God. Oh my God. I called Steve and I said, baby, I need you to do me a favor. He's like, well, sure. You'll quit waking me up from sleep. That'd be nice. No, he did not say that. I am lying in the house of God. Oh, help me, Lord. I said, when you come to the hospital in the morning, I need you to bring a stack of paper and magic markers. A long pause. It's like, okay. And I know he's thinking, she has had way too much morphine tonight. Something is really, really wrong, but she wants to color. I will supply. What he didn't know, I spent the entire night in the Word of God. I found every scripture I could find on healing, hope, deliverance, the name working. It didn't matter, buddy. I was tearing off little papers and marking in my Bible. I had it all ready when he showed up the next morning. He walks in with his magic markers and papers, and he said, well, here you go. And I started writing. I wrote scriptures on those papers, and I said, baby, would you go down to the nurse's station and find some tape? All right. And can I tell you, we wallpapered that hospital room with the Word of God. Because when nothing else works, the Word will work. The Word is a two-edged sword. The Word will do what I need it to do. The Word will show up every time. If you have a problem, you find a promise and park yourself on it until you bring it from the heavenlies into your world. Because it works. His Word never fails. We get tired of claiming it is the problem. Well, God's just not going to do it for me. I've been praying over this for a couple of years. Let it go. Let me tell y'all something. 10 years, I was sick. I wish I could tell you that when I put those words up on the wall, whoo, that God just came in and everything was better. Sometimes God lets us go through a process. And I don't have time to teach on the process. But there's a lot of flesh in us that's got to be burned off somewhere. Because one of these days, when that great trumpet sounds, I got to be more God than I am flesh, so I can rise and go to meet him. Because the scripture says sin cannot enter there. And my daddy told me that God's more worried about my character than he is my comfort. Y'all, it got worse than that. I got me a sign. Made it a sign to put on my hospital door. Here's your sign. Here's your sign. And it said, don't come in this hospital room crying anymore. Because see, that the night before, Jesus cast all the mourners out. Don't you come in here crying anymore. If you can't walk in this room in faith, go to the hospital chapel, pray through, and come back. Because God doesn't operate off of my self-pity. God operates off of my faith. And my faith was at the bottom of the barrel. I had to do something to start lifting myself back up out of this mess I had been put into. And when the doctor would walk in and say, we're about to call a code on you, I could barely get my eyes open, but I could see on the wall where it said, the Lord thy God healeth thee. Y'all, that first poor little old nurse that walked in there, she saw that sign on the door. Y'all, they thought I was crazy. Really? Slap crazy. They're scared to come in there. You know, you don't really care when you get good and desperate. If you have a need in this building today, and when we call for prayer, if you don't run down here, you ain't desperate. God responds to your hunger and your desperation and your faith, and you reaching out to Him and you believing that He is able to do it all. That first little nurse came in, she said, Terry, sweetheart, you're sure you want that sign on your door? They had been watching everybody come in and out crying. I said, I'm absolutely sure. Okay. She looked around my room. She left. She went and called the doctor. He come up there. He wasn't just a few minutes behind her, buddy. He walked in. He stopped. He just looked. Well, he said, Terry, I see our little talk didn't do any good last night. I said, and mister, that's where you're wrong. Our talk last night did all the good, because I have drawn a line in the sand, and it's me and God, and it's y'all. And I know my God is able. It may not look like He's able. I don't have anything to stand on medically, but I'm standing on the Word of God that said, by His stripes you are healed. So from that point on, every doctor that came in pronouncing death over me and pronouncing this had gone wrong and that had gone wrong and this had quit working and we can't fix that, they get all through and I just look up at them and say, I'm healed. They're like, sweetheart, you are in the wrong universe. I said, that's all right. I prefer this universe. I'm healed. I may not feel healed. I may not look healed. But God said, I'm healed. So that's all that matters. I'm healed. I'm healed. Well, a couple of days later, he came back. He said, well, Terry, since you refuse this whole dying thing. I was like, really? He said, I've made a bunch of more calls. And I'm thinking, why didn't you do this year ago, you know? But he said, I made a bunch more calls, and he said, been talking to a doctor at a research hospital, and he said, we're going to try something, but you have to sign a bunch of waivers. He said, you're going to die anyway. I said, hey, I'll sign anything. Bring it to me. I don't care what y'all do to me, because he may not come when I want him. But honey, he going to be there right on time. So you just keep sustaining me until he gets here. So what they were doing, they put me back in ICU. I was in and out all the time. It was just a revolving door. put me back in ICU, and he said, we're going to give you massive doses of steroids. Now, I'm not talking a prednisone pack or a cortisone shot. I'm talking IV bags, huge ones, hung, running as fast as they could through the IV. And he said, what we're hoping to do, we can't kill the virus. Nothing will control it. But he said, we're hoping steroids will suppress it and give you a few more weeks to live. But he said, it's going to damage your body severely. Thus the waivers. Okay. First 3 days, he said, I've given you more steroids than I've given my entire patient clientele in a year. I was hanging off the ceiling, folks. I was so jacked up. Wow. First 3 weeks, though, in ICU, I gained 52 pounds. Whoa. They were blowing me up. Every time they'd take me off the steroids, the virus would come back with a vengeance. So it was up and down, up and down. We did it for 3 years, about 3.5 years, until I woke up one night screaming in so much pain. I honestly didn't know what to do. I was out of my mind in pain. They rushed me to bone scans to find out that what they told me was going to happen had happened. Steroids had gotten into my bone marrow. My bone marrow had started swelling. Bones had all started cracking around it. They were all thinned out. There were cracks all in my bones. I was in enormous pain. Doctor told me, he said, well, Terry, we've sustained you a little bit longer, but now you're in a wheelchair. You'll never walk again. You'll never be around people again. Your immune system has been killed by all the steroids. You're like an HIV patient in the last stages. You can't be with anybody. You can't walk to the bathroom. You can't do anything. My friends, I've been to the bottom. But I can tell you, the bottom is stable because he's there.
Anchor holds.
The anchor holds. So I was in the wheelchair and in excruciating pain, and they gave me morphine as much as I wanted, anytime I wanted. The doctors told my family this is death doses of morphine. She could die from the morphine, but she's going to die from something. There's no hope anyway, so let her die comfortably. I became so addicted to morphine. It was horrible. I tell a lot of that story in my book. I'm just hitting the highlights, believe me. But here comes the good part. I had to tell you all that to tell you this. They had let me go home for 2 or 3 days, but I had to have bone scans every 2 weeks, and my bone scan was coming up, and so Steve was trying to get me out the door to get me in the car to the hospital for the bone scan. The phone rang. He went back and got it, and he brought it to me. He said, Terry, it's your old friend, Brother Barnes. I'm going to tell you, if you don't, and this is nothing, really, this has nothing to do with my grandkids, if you don't do anything but buy that book, Life Interrupted, to see the miraculous work of a prophet of God, Brother Barnes walked through this illness. Y'all, I cannot tell you how many times I would come back from death with the code cart there, with the tubes, with the paddles, with the family crying. But there would be a phone laying on the pillow, and I would come back to life hearing that old voice, death, get your hands off of my girl. This is not her time. This is not the way she's supposed to go. I speak life back into that body, and I would come back too. I'm telling you, you don't ever do without a man of God in your life, because someday you're going to need him. So this day he called, and he said, Terry, what's going on? I said, well, Brother Barnes, really bad news. And I told him. And his response was typical Brother Barnes. I wish everyone in this building could have known him. Country as the day is long. Cowboy hat, man. But a prophet from heaven. He said, and his response when I'm telling him my tale of woe is typical. He was, well, don't worry about that. Well, I don't know what you just heard me say on the phone. I'm confined to a wheelchair. I'm a little concerned about this. Well, he said you shouldn't be. He said, I've been at the church praying for you. I said, okay. He said, Terry, when I was praying, and y'all, this, I'm sorry, we're sold out. I have his book on healing, and this is in his book. He has this in his book because it was such a phenomenal experience. He said, I was praying, and he said, all of a sudden, I saw you standing in front of me, and it was like a vision, and he said, I could see through your body, and I could see your skeleton, and he said, I, remember, he's country. He said, I don't know what to say. He said, all it looked to me like was there were a bunch of road maps all over your bones. I said, well, Brother Barnes, that's what the doctor says. They're all cracked and thinning, and I'm in a mess. He said, I told you, don't worry about it. Okay. He said, because I'm going to tell you why I saw another vision. I said, okay. He said, in the second vision, Terry, I saw you exactly like you were, standing there. But he said, I could see through. I saw your skeleton. And he said, in that second vision, every bone in your body had come into place, girl. He said, I don't know when, I don't know how, but here's what I know. We're standing on the promises of God that says he has already healed you. And that is just something else that's about to take place. Can I tell you, when I went for that bone scan, I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't have any idea how God did it, but every bone in my body had come back into place. There was not one crack. There was not one problem. They could not believe it. Nobody could understand it. They had this one and they had that one. And they're like, we don't know what happened, but Terry, your bones are just fine. Honey, I know what happened. That's why I can stand here today and tell you it don't matter what's wrong with your knee. God can take care of it. It don't matter what's wrong with your shoulder. God can take care of it. It don't matter what's wrong with your heart. God can take care of it. You can remain standing. I got to tell you one more thing, and we're going to close and pray. This is just the highlight, y'all. Fast forward 10 years. Now I've been sick 10 years. I've seen miracles and I've seen healings, and can I tell you there's a difference? Miracles are instantaneous. Happens on the spot, happened with my bones. Healings can take time. It's a process. It's a faith walk. It's a character building thing. It's a bringing me into his likeness thing. I believe we would see a whole lot more miracles and healings if people would quit giving up. Don't you ever quit coming for prayer, because the next time might be your time. So today, we had gone, I had asked Steve, I said, please, I want to go to a prayer conference. They were, Mom and I had started years and years ago, and I really want to go. And he's like, you can't go. Because, see, here's what had happened. My liver was 7 times its normal size. It was distended out my body. It looked like a huge football. Doctors told me it's part virus caused, it's part medicine caused, because you've taken so many medicines the last 10 years, your liver can't function. They had told me that, well, Terry, you've overcome a lot, but your liver's going to get you. They said there's nothing we can do. They were testing it every week, watching the numbers. I was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. Let me tell you something. There ain't no sick like when your liver quits working. Oh, my Lord. I would stay in the bathroom floor the first 3 or 4 hours of the morning. I literally was so sick I could not move. they sent us to a transplant team. They said, you can try for a transplant. 2 weeks after we went, they called us back. They looked at my husband and I, and they said, we hate to tell you this. With all the damage that's done to her body and all the stuff that she's been through, it's not worth a transplant. I may not have been worth a transplant to a team of doctors, but honey, he loves me. And I was worth it to him. We go to the prayer conference. I stumble down the aisle. They had saved me a seat. Second row. I put my head in my lap and I said, God, I've done this so many times. I'm so sick. I'm so tired of being sick. And I'm coming one more time. Today's the day. Through with this mess. Preacher had been preaching. I think he preaches for y'all, Morton Buster. He had been walking across the front of the church, and you know how he'll stop and minister to people. And Morton's been a friend of ours for over 30 years, and he knew I was sick, and he had prayed for me many times. But nobody knew about my liver except my family. It was just a long illness, and I got tired of all the publicity and all the stuff, and I just didn't want anybody to know. Martin's walking, and he stops right here. And y'all, so help me God, you can ask him, or it's on a DVD. It was worth it to God. Martin stopped, and he said, Terry, I know you've been sick. We've all been praying for you. But he said, I don't know if this is going to mean anything to you. But he said, I just saw a bolt of lightning. And he said, it hit your liver. And he said, God spoke to me and said, tell her she has a brand new liver. I got a liver transplant sitting on the second row of a pew. You cannot tell me that my God is not able. I don't know what kind of problem you got in this building today, but I've got a God that is bigger than your problems. I've got a word that is bigger than your sickness. So all you need to do right now is throw up your hands, bring to the very forefront of your mind what your problem is, and you start believing that God is going to take care of it.
Oh, everybody lift your hands to the Lord together. Oh, glory. Hasha, wait on the Lord for a moment. I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over. Lift your hands and let's let it flow over you now. I see a crimson stream of blood. Hokoria handanana moshahaya. It flows from Calvary. Hila boshandalahaya. It's flowing through this house right now.
It's
right through this house right now. I don't care what pew you're sitting on. The power of God is rolling through and touching your body and healing you right now. Oh, yeah, one more time. Let's sing it one more time. You can lift your hands and be healed right as you stand.
I see.
Call that cancer gone. Call that blood disease gone.
And it flows from Calvary.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
It's waves which reach the throne of God. They're sweeping over me.
All right, in Jesus' name, we're about to pray the prayer of faith for you. Boy, great things are going on in the Holy Ghost. He's moving in a mighty way here right now. Oh, hallelujah. We've been blessed to see eyes open. We've seen cancers just disappear. Oh, glory. Eyes open, ears unstopped, joints straightened out. One day there was some little twin boys in church that were autistic. Terry sat down on the floor with them, began praying with them. They called us the next week and said they've gone back to public school. They're all okay. Yeah. So there's nothing God can't do. Our old mentor taught us that the thing to do is to pray for the hardest things first. So I'm calling for cancer. That's any kind of blood disease or disorder. Lupus, leukemia, any of that kind of stuff. Any kind of blood disorder or cancer or cells. Yeah, it's fine. Come on. I'm calling for heart disease. Basically, if you got something wrong with you that you're taking medicine for or doing treatments for it, there's not going to be a cure. You're just staving off the inevitable with medicine, blood pressure. Get on down here as quick as you can. Go ahead and sing a little bit.
I see.
Thank you, Jesus.
A crimson stream of blood.
All right, what I need you to do when you come down, would you stand shoulder to shoulder? Stand shoulder to shoulder. Don't get behind somebody because we can't get to you to pray for you. Move on up and get shoulder to shoulder. If you need to, form two lines, but leave enough space. Leave enough space so we can get through.
Reach the throne of God.
That's right. Thanks for the help. That's right.
Oh, they're sweet.
That's right.
People.
Make two shoulder-to-shoulder lines, but leave enough space so we can walk through there. There you go.
And
praise
I
God.
I see a crimson stream of the
blessed name.
And if from Calvary.
That's good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And its waves which reach the throne of
Listen to the word of God. Listen. We're waiting on the moment to get right. Go ahead and lift that hand to Jesus. Ministers, get ready.
And heal my disease. And I trust.
Faith is rising like a great big helium balloon. It's just...